local hospitals are overrun with flu cases, and doctors are seeing an increase in rare neurological complications that can have serious consequences in children. This is Cincinnati Edition on WVXU. I'm Lucy May. Joining me now to talk about how hospitals are handling these cases and why flu is on the rise is Cincinnati Children's Medical Director of Infection Prevention and Control, Dr. Felicia Skaggs Huang. Thanks so much for joining us, Dr. Skaggs Huang.
Thanks for having me.
So what are the strains of flu going around?
So there are four types of influenza viruses, A, B, C, and D. Influenza A and B viruses cause the seasonal epidemics we see every winter in the United States. And in patients that we're seeing right now in Cincinnati, influenza A has been most common.
What are the symptoms? Are the symptoms from that influenza different from a cold or from COVID-19?
This is a great question. Flu can cause a range of symptoms from mild to severe illness. Symptoms usually come on suddenly and can include a high fever, cough, sore throat, runny or stuffy nose, body aches, and headaches. Young kids can have vomiting and diarrhea. In some cases, it can be hard to tell the difference between flu and other respiratory viruses like the common cold or COVID-19. But it can still be worth getting tested to try to tell the difference between them, as kids are less likely to get really sick and go to the hospital if they have a cold or COVID compared to flu.
We're talking today about why cases of flu are on the rise and the serious complications some patients are experiencing. Have you or your family members been sick with the flu? We want to hear from you and hear about your experience. Call 513-419-7100 or you can email talk@wvxu.org. How many cases of flu has Cincinnati Children's been seeing, Dr. Skaggs Huang?
In the middle of February, we had over 1,000 children who tested positive for flu over a one-week period. And we've had hundreds of children admitted to the hospital with influenza in the month of February alone. This week, numbers are a bit lower, with close to but less than 1,000. So this makes me hopeful that we've hit our peak.
Yeah. Has that 1,000 cases that you mentioned and the hundreds who've been admitted to the hospital, is this an increase in cases compared to previous years?
Yes, this is definitely considered an increase in both flu cases and disease severity than the past few years. In a typical flu season, we see hundreds of children who test positive for flu during its peak. So seeing several hundred to over 1,000 children test positive for flu each week is unusual for our season in the greater Cincinnati area.
Why do you think the numbers are up?
It's hard to say exactly why we're seeing so many cases of influenza A this season. Oftentimes, it's really from a number of factors. Instead of having a slower or steadier rise in cases, the season started late this year with a rapid rise in cases in December, a pause over the winter break that was a little longer, right, because of all those snow days, and then a quick increase when everyone came back to school or work. Another reason this is probably the case is that we're also seeing relatively poor flu vaccine uptake this year. This fall and winter season of 2024 to 2025 so far, only 46% of kids have gotten their flu vaccine. By comparison, in the 2019 to 20 season, about 64% of children less than 17 years were vaccinated against flu.
And are you seeing patients who are vaccinated or patients who are unvaccinated when they come to the hospital with these severe symptoms?
Many of the pediatric patients who are getting admitted to the hospital are not vaccinated, unfortunately. Anecdotally, many providers in the area are describing that our local uptake of the flu vaccine is similar to what's being reported nationally, so lower than we would like.
Yeah. What kind of strain does that increase in cases? What does that mean for the hospital? What kind of impact does that have?
For the hospital level, it definitely means that we are busy. However, you know, the hospital is meeting every day to make sure that we have the capacity to provide world-class care to our kids who are presenting to us with respiratory symptoms.
What does that care look like?
Most children that come to the hospital with respiratory symptoms, if they are eligible, they will be offered a test for flu, COVID, RSV, whatever else might fit with their clinical symptoms. Then, if they test positive for flu, oftentimes they'll be offered an antiviral treatment, as well as get recommendations on controlling fever, staying comfortable and hydrated as you get over the illness.
And just with the huge numbers that you've been talking about in terms of these hundreds of cases, sometimes 1,000 cases in such a short period of time, how is Cincinnati Children's handling this?
So our providers at Cincinnati Children's are adept at diagnosing and treating flu. Even though we sort of lost sight of this and it wasn't as common during the COVID-19 pandemic years, this virus has been around for a long time. So the hospital's huddling at least once every day to understand staffing and make sure we have an open bed so that all of our patients can be seen and cared for in a timely fashion, and that we also have materials on hand to test and treat anyone who needs to be tested for flu.
We are talking today about the rising number of cases of flu and the serious complications that some patients are experiencing. And we have an expert here who can answer your questions. Give us a call at 513-419-7100, or you can email talk@wvxu.org. Dr. Skaggs-Wong, how serious can these flu cases get?
Although the numbers vary based on the severity of a given flu season, about 20,000 kids under the age of 5 are hospitalized for the flu every year. In an average flu season, about 120 children in the United States die from the flu. In a bad season, about 200 children die from the flu. This is unfortunate because a lot of these deaths are preventable. And this can also include our patients here at Cincinnati Children's area. Some of the life-threatening complications we see from the flu are pneumonia or inflammation in different organ systems that is triggered by the flu. So flu can affect the brain, causing encephalitis, the heart, causing myocarditis, muscle tissue, causing myositis, or other organ systems that can lead to respiratory or kidney failure. This year, we are seeing a fairly rare complication, both locally and nationally, called acute necrotizing encephalitis.
Tell us about acute necrotizing encephalitis. What are the symptoms with that?
Acute necrotizing encephalitis is a rare and severe form of brain inflammation that can cause progressive neurologic issues. It can be triggered by a number of viruses, but flu is one of the more common ones that's described. It usually presents as seizures, irritability, or excessive sleepiness. Brain imaging with a CT or MRI usually shows lesions causing cell death or necrosis in the brain, brain swelling, and sometimes bleeding. Children that have acute necrotizing encephalitis can struggle to breathe and might need help, like a breathing tube, or can have liver and kidney problems too.
Oh, that sounds scary. As a parent, my daughters are grown, but that sounds scary. We do have a caller on the line. Hi, Brian. Thank you for listening. Thank you for calling. What's your question?
Hi, thank you. I wanted to ask the doctor about the flu vaccine this year. I've read or heard that it's not particularly a good match. And if that's the case, should we still get the vaccine, or is it too late in the season to even worry about it?
Great question. Thank you, Brian. What do you say, Dr. Skaggs-Wong?
I'm so glad you asked this question because this is a problem we deal with frequently when thinking about influenza. In a good season, the flu vaccine is about a 60% match for the circulating strains in the community. And in a bad season, it can be 30 to 40%. We don't know for sure how strong the match is, but we say it's probably within that 40 to 60% range. And multiple studies have shown that even if it's not a great match, it's still worth getting because it can decrease that chance of you having severe illness or progression of your symptoms. Just a little bit of those antibodies you're getting from the vaccine can help you. There was a study that came out recently, a meta-analysis where they looked and compared a lot of flu studies where the vaccine worked well some seasons and not as well others. And they found that your risk of death was still 2 to 3 times higher if you didn't get the vaccine. So still worth it. And even if it's late in the season and you haven't had a chance to get your vaccine, go check with your doctor. It's probably worth it.
You mentioned before when you were talking about how serious these flu cases can get, that children across the country die from flu, and you mentioned that it's preventable. Do you mean it's preventable in that if kids get this vaccine, they're far less likely to have these serious complications? Is that what that means?
Correct. When you get that flu vaccine, it can help take what can be a very serious illness to just being miserable for a few days or having a cold. And that's really the goal of the flu vaccine. It can't necessarily prevent you from getting the infection entirely, but it can really help prevent severe disease. So certainly a worthwhile endeavor, especially if you have people in your house that are at high risk. So people with heart problems, asthma, and young children. Those are all folks that are much more likely to have severe symptoms.
We got an email from Kathy that touches on this issue of flu vaccines. Kathy writes, please give a percentage how many children admitted with respiratory issues did not receive the flu vaccine. Is that a number that you have at your fingertips, Dr. Skaggs Wong?
I can't give you the total percentage, but I would say most of the patients that we are seeing admitted to the hospital have not gotten their vaccine, which is really unfortunate. So, of course, you know, try to get it if you have not yet. It's still worth it, even though our flu season has not ended yet. It can last into March or even April or May. So consider getting that vaccine.
Yeah. We were talking before that call about acute necrotizing encephalitis. What kind of lasting impact can that have? I mean, it sounds like the symptoms are very scary. What is there long-term impact that can have on children who develop that?
Since acute necrotizing encephalitis is relatively rare, most of the data we have is on case reports. So what we do know is that with prompt identification and treatment, some patients recover completely, although they might have an extended hospital stay. Up to 20% of children may have a change in their quality of life after an acute necrotizing encephalitis diagnosis. So they might have long-term issues like seizures or cognitive impairment. And mortality of up to 30% has been reported in young children. But again, some of that data is several years old and treatments have changed since then.
And is that those impacts that you were just talking about, is that because there is permanent damage that can occur in the brain from this?
That is correct. It can cause permanent brain damage.
Yeah. You've mentioned a couple times that acute necrotizing encephalitis is rare, which I'm sure is a relief to hear for a lot of people who are listening to this, because it does sound scary. How rare is it? Do you know?
In previous respiratory seasons, it has impacted a very small proportion of children with influenza, probably about less than 1%. So quite rare complication.
Have you seen cases of this at Cincinnati Children's this flu season? Have you seen multiple cases?
Yes, we see children every year at Cincinnati Children's who are hospitalized for flu or its complications. We don't see acute necrotizing encephalitis every year, and it makes up a relatively small proportion of our overall cases. So even if we see a few cases, which we have, it's so uncommon, so it's a reason for concern and a reason for us to encourage our families to seek testing if they're ill so they can get treatment, and if you haven't gotten your vaccine yet, to try to get it now.
One more question about this acute necrotizing encephalitis. Does it only affect children or can it affect adults also?
Adults can get it too, although it seems to be much less commonly reported than it is in children.
Okay. We do have another caller on the line. Hi, Haley. Thanks for listening. What is your question?
Yes, I was calling to see when you would recommend giving an antiviral like Tamiflu to a child who has the flu who's otherwise healthy.
Okay. Thank you, Haley. What do you say about that?
This is a great question. So there are a few antiviral treatments that are specific for the flu. The gold standard that many of us have heard about is an oral medication called oseltamivir. The brand name is Tamiflu. And it's been shown to decrease the duration of symptoms by 1 to 2 days and decrease the risk of disease progression. So you are less likely to need to be hospitalized or get intensive care treatment or die. So for patients that are healthy, like your question, Haley, the recommendation is if you're in an outpatient setting to try to get it within that first 48 hours of symptoms. That's when it's considered to be most effective. However, even if your child is healthy, it still may be appropriate to treat outside of that 48-hour window if you have people in your home who are at high risk of influenza. So complications in like infants, or if there's someone in your home who has bad asthma, again, it might be worth getting treated if it's out of that 48-hour window.
Thank you so much. Thanks for that call, Haley, and for that terrific question. We are going to continue our conversation after a short break, and later in the program, we'll hear about a play that explores the relationship between abolitionist Frederick Douglass and President Abraham Lincoln. This is Cincinnati Edition. This is Cincinnati Edition on WVXU. I'm Lucy May. We're continuing our conversation about how flu is on the rise. My guest is Cincinnati Children's Medical Director of Infection Prevention and Control, Dr. Felicia Skaggs Huang. You can join the conversation by calling 513-419-7100, or you can email talk@wvxu.org. Dr. Skaggs Huang, I spent a lot of time before the break talking about this acute necrotizing encephalitis because it freaks me out as a mom. But what do other severe cases of the flu look like this year?
Some common reasons for hospitalization this season with the flu include pneumonia, which can be caused by the flu virus itself. Flu also causes so much inflammation that it's a perfect setup for bacteria to invade that damaged lung tissue. So we see patients get a bacterial pneumonia on top of the flu. Some other reasons to get admitted for the flu include myositis, so inflammation and breakdown of the muscle tissue, and dehydration. Brain and heart inflammation causing encephalitis or myocarditis are less common, but can happen in our area.
And we talked about the impact that these rising flu cases are having on Cincinnati Children's. What about urgent care centers? Are they getting overwhelmed with these cases too?
Cincinnati Children's is very busy right now, just like many of our adult regional centers. The various sites of care are in communication every day so that we can maintain adequate space and staffing to take care of everybody. If you are a parent of someone who needs to be seen in one of our urgent cares or ED, you can use the Cincinnati Children's app or website to see what the waiting times are and to reserve a time slot. I've used it for my children over the years, and it's really a great way to get care without waiting in a waiting room for too long. And our Cincinnati Children's communications team is very active on social media to let families know when things are especially busy. And also, I would encourage families to reach out to their pediatrician or their family medicine doctor to see if they have an acute care slot and they can see you as well, because they know you the best.
Yeah. Tell us about this Cincy Kids Health Connect app. Is that something that can help parents figure out what's going on with their children, whether they should take them in, don't need to take them in to see a doctor? Because you mentioned it's not just waiting in a waiting room. You're sometimes waiting around a bunch of other germy kids. So if you don't have to take them in, it's better not to, I guess.
Yeah, there are some nice options for telehealth type visits depending on what the medical condition. So I always encourage you to kind of look and see where's the best area. So if your child is just not comfortable, not eating and drinking as well, you know, seeking out an urgent care visit, your regular doctor, or like the Cincy Kids app, perhaps getting a telehealth type visit might be a good place to start. But if your child is breathing hard or fast, has not urinated in several hours, is turning blue, is really hard to wake up, like some of those more scary signs and symptoms, it doesn't matter if the waiting room is full, like your child should be prioritized for care and you should try to come to the emergency department.
And so this app, this Cincy Kids Health Connect, it's basically a way to get a virtual visit, a telehealth visit then.
That's correct. It's okay. One of the ways you can connect with us.
Yeah. Okay. And I guess if you connect and the person who you're connecting with says, hey, you really need to take your child in, that's good information to get. I mean, there's only so much they can do over virtual health. They're not going to prescribe antibiotics or anything like that.
They cannot, perhaps, you know, if your child is very ill, they would want to do a good physical assessment, listening to your heart and lungs, you know, really checking your pulse, et cetera. And that can't really be done well over a virtual visit. So that's where the in-person care would be more appropriate.
That makes sense. Again, we're talking about flu and the rising cases of flu here in the region, what it means for hospitals, for patients. You can join the conversation by calling 513-419-7100, or you can email talk@wvxu.org. There are flu tests available at drugstores these days, which to me as an old person seems like a miracle. Is it helpful to know if you have the flu? I mean, is it worth getting those tests to know if you or your child has the flu?
Yeah, this is a relatively new option, right? Over the past few years, I'm all about using resources that are available that you can take action from. So if you have fevers and respiratory symptoms, getting an at-home test can provide some helpful data if you are comfortable swabbing yourself or your child, right? That can make us, some of us as parents, a little queasy. The results are less accurate if you've had symptoms for several days. So keep that in mind when you're considering about purchasing some of these over-the-counter tests. If you do have a positive flu test, I still recommend contacting a health provider so you can discuss what you should do next and what kind of treatment options might be appropriate for your family.
Well, and we talked a little bit with that caller, Haley, about Tamiflu and antiviral treatments. But what is that? Are there other antiviral treatments that can help if you have the flu? And I wonder how readily available they are. I have a coworker here whose daughter got the flu, and it took her a while to get Tamiflu because it was, I don't know if it was sold out is the right word, but it wasn't easy to get.
Yeah, so I talked a little bit about Tamiflu or oseltamivir, and that's really our gold standard. There are some other options available. So there is a single oral dose drug regimen called baloxavir. It has the brand name of Xofluza, and that's a good option in children who are above five, especially those who might have more GI symptoms. There's also an inhaled treatment and an IV treatment option. These are a lot less common. Your regular doctor may not have them available, but major health centers probably do. At Cincinnati Children's, we have been keeping a close eye on our medication supply, especially of oseltamivir, to make sure that we have enough for our patients, and we do. So, you know, call your local Walgreens or CVS. A lot of them are trying to prioritize that, but also you can reach out through the Cincinnati Children's pharmacy locations to see if they have it, because so many people are sick with the flu. And as a mom and a physician who specializes in infections in children, I don't think many of us pursue treatment for flu often enough. So if you have flu going around in your house, I'd recommend that you really strongly consider getting a prescription instead of just battling it out at home without treatment to help prevent some of those complications we've been talking about, especially if you have people in your home who are at high risk for complications. So infants, the elderly, and those with underlying medical conditions.
Talk a little bit more about that, because I'm from the generation where it was like, walk it off, you know, I mean, like, tough it out. You feel bad now, but you'll be fine. Can you talk a little bit more about the importance of seeking treatment?
Absolutely. And, you know, when I was a child, it's not something that I think was on my parents' radar either. So, you know, those who are at highest risk are children who are less than 6 months, especially, but children less than five, adults older than 65, and those with underlying medical conditions, especially those that affect the heart and lungs or the ability to clear secretions on your own. So certain neuromuscular disorders like Duchenne's, for example. However, again, think about the time your family is homesick and miserable with the flu. Getting a treatment that means that you can get back to the important things that our kids like to do, like going to gymnastics or playing outside or hanging out with their friends. Getting a treatment that can decrease your symptoms for a couple days can be totally worth it.
And how long are people with the flu contagious?
This varies a little bit, but most people are contagious the most for those first 3 to 4 days of illness. But you can still spread the infection for up to 1 week after your symptoms start. So I recommend that if you do have the flu, that you stay home and take care of yourself until you feel better. This really just helps expedite your own recovery from what can be a pretty nasty viral infection, but it also keeps you from spreading it around to your friends, your coworkers, and your classmates.
Sure. And we've talked about how important it is to get a flu shot. It's not too late to get a flu shot. Any other recommendations for staying healthy?
Yeah, although nothing is perfect at totally preventing the risk of getting flu, vaccination is really the cornerstone of what we can do. So for some people, the flu is just a bad cold, and for others, it can be life-threatening. So staying home if you're sick, canceling playdates if others are sick, and washing your hands frequently. And of course, eating healthy and exercising are ways that you can make your body stronger to fight off infection.
Okay, well, I've been talking with Cincinnati Children's Medical Director of Infection Prevention and Control, Dr. Felicia Skaggs Huang. Thank you so much for your time today. Up next, we'll hear about a play that explores the complex relationship between abolitionist Frederick Douglass and President Abraham Lincoln. This is Cincinnati Edition.